Hour number two of Gwen and Chris. No Gwen today. We mentioned it earlier. Congrats to Tony and his daughter. She debuted with a victory in her Grand Canyon Division I soccer opener last night. 2-0 over Arizona. I'm sure proud Papa was there after the match to congratulate Michaela. Padres are on their way to Cleveland. They are enjoying their first. Are they in Cleveland?
They probably got there. Yeah, they probably got there late last night.
But they're enjoying right now their first day off in 2.5 weeks, 16 days straight with a game. And even though we're ecstatic about that great victory yesterday over the Brewers, and I'm sure the Padres were happy about it, they seemed more happy that they had the day off today.
Of
that seemed to be the number one thing on their minds.
Imagine working 26 days in a row in whatever job you're doing.
I've never done that before.
I have.
Me too.
It's brutal.
I love work.
I've never done that before, and you said me too?
Bring it on. Let's play. Let's have work. Let's go to work. What else do I have to do? All you people who can't wait to retire, I'm just warning you. A lot of my friends are kind of getting there, and a few of them have retired, and almost all of them are like, now what do I do? It sounds good,
I mean,
but you still have to come up with something to do.
It does sound good, and I understand you got to come up with something to do, but like, don't you have all of your life to figure that out?
Like what you want to do after you retire?
Yeah.
Yes, but what is available to you other than golf? What else is out there?
You know
there?
What I would probably like
ceramics?
Do? I would learn to do something. I would learn to underwater basket weave or something.
I would like to see that.
I wouldn't, because that sounds
get you in there.
Bad and awful.
All right. Before we get to today's Daily Gambit, interesting was a story you're looking at here about betting the preseason in football. Because you and I always talk about it. If you're betting the preseason, you are like, should just check right into rehab.
Yes. And so here's what I'm saying. Like, I think that the betting industry has to be more responsible about the way they do things. And here is the title of this betting article. Preseason NFL betting isn't for degenerates. Why there is value and how to find it.
Yeah.
I think this is
now,
really
who
bad.
Wrote this article?
Some guy named Corby Craig. Yahoo Sports.
Yahoo Sports. So, see, this is where we talk, like, okay, go ahead. Yahoo Sports is like basically saying, hey, don't forget to gamble on this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I was going with this,
right.
Is that they're actually now, they're trying to take let me start this over. They're trying to take the betting on preseason and degenerate look, and they're trying to change it around. They're trying to say it's okay to bet on preseason football. It's all good. You can make money. Here's how we could do it. This is wrong. They should.
You honestly?
They shouldn't be doing this.
You might as well just bet on, you know, what car in what lane is going to get to the red light. I mean, there's no way to know.
There is no way to know.
The Buffalo Bills are like saying, well, we're going to play our starters tonight or tomorrow in their first game because it's the new stadium. They want them all in there. So now, because of that, I'm sure Buffalo will be favored or whatever. I don't even know who they're playing. But you don't know what that means. Josh Allen may just hand off one time and go sit down.
Yeah, they're saying
I mean, how can you bet on something you don't even know what you're betting on?
The article is saying you bet on the coach, not the team. And it's basically telling you, yeah, there's no way to predict this, but here are some ways that you can possibly win. And I just didn't like this. I thought it was wrong.
I wouldn't even bother with that article. I will say that John Harbaugh, now that I just dismissed the whole thing, maybe you should bet on the Giants if you must, because John Harbaugh was the guy who won 20 preseason games in a row with the Ravens.
He did, or 24,
and now he's
24
in a row. Now he's with the Giants. All right.
I don't think the Giants.
I just went against my very own advice by giving you advice. Let's go to the Daily Gambit, which we at least handle responsibly.
Yes, we do.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We mean it. We really, really mean it.
Yeah, I've come to finally, you know, look, because I just try to dismiss it entirely, but I do understand that people like it, and it can be a good form of entertainment and relaxing or whatever it might be. So I've kind of changed my tune to at least say only gamble money that you are setting aside for that entertainment.
Yeah.
That is the main thing here.
And don't chase
your losses. Be betting rent checks on stuff. Because now you're into ruining your life territory.
Yeah, I told you I watched this documentary on betting years ago, and this guy, he bet and he lost, and he thought it was a lock. And so he was like, I got to bring money home to my wife. And so he put down more money from a savings account, lost that too.
Sure.
And I can understand why people chase that. I mean, it's a slippery slope. But like you said, if people can drink responsibly, that's fine.
Yes, they can. A lot of people do.
So you can also gamble responsibly.
Right, you can. A lot of people drink. Totally. Most people drink responsibly. It's just not something you understand
too
well.
No, I did not drink responsibly. That's why I'm not allowed to drink anymore.
I don't drink responsibly.
That's why I'm not allowed to drink anymore.
You know, you don't produce the show responsibly. Why are you still allowed to do
because
that?
Because my brain is still hectic and crazy, but it's in a better light.
I'd like to know when Adam is going to figure all that out.
Yeah, Adam, figure it out.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Apparently.
All right, Tuesday night, Brewers -1.5 against the Padres. You went Brew Crew, I went Padres.
Oh, yeah.
Padres
Kyle
went
Harrison.
11-2.
They bombed him.
Over under 7.5 runs. You went over, I went under. It was well over, 13. Pirates -1.5 against the Marlins the other night. We both went Pirates, but the Marlins went 8-2. Did they?
That was a Paul Skeens game. And we should mention that Paul Skeens got taken out after 5 innings and 65 pitches in that game. There's not been really any word from the Pirates as to why that was. But a lot of people are speculating that Skeens could be hurting. I haven't heard anything official,
though.
It
definitely seems like that. He's not nearly
He's been
anything
pitching
close
terrible.
To
And his velocity was down as well.
His velocity has been down this year 2 or 3 miles an hour.
It will be. That is something. I'm surprised. You know, we dig, right? Reporters have to know everything, right? We have to find out, you know, what Kyle Shanahan had for breakfast before he went driving that day. But we're not digging into why Paul Skeens was taken out of that game the other night?
No, it's the Pirates. The Pirates media.
Still Paul Skeens. I would think that would be of importance to people.
I would, too. I would feel like some reporter would want to break the news that Paul Skeens is injured or dealing with something.
Yeah, nothing yet.
Who had more strikeouts, Dylan Cease -1 or Paul Skeens? We both went Cease. Cease had 7 -1 is 6. Skeens only had 4, so we win.
It's not working for
Christopher Sanchez, over under 6.5. You went under. I went over. Guy went 6.
6.
So you win that one. Runs plus hits plus RBIs. Who had more PCA, or as we called them that day, CJA. CJ Abrams. We both chose CJ Abrams. PCA had a homer. So he had a run, a hit, and an RBI for 3.
Yeah.
CJ Abrams, though, drove in 2.
Ah.
2 + 1 + 1 = 4.
CJA, the win.
Yes. And then I never got to
I saw PCA last night, and this I shouldn't mind, but since I don't like the guy, I just kind of unfairly treat him. But they were ahead 12-5 in the 9th inning, and he came up with 2 outs, and he grounded out to end the inning. His team is up by 7 runs in the 9th inning. The look on his face, though, was one of utter hatred for the sport of baseball. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I mean, okay, but you're up 7. Try to at least make it look like the winning of the game matters to you a little.
Yeah.
But I also get the other side of it. He's a competitor. And to me, he needs to rein some of it
in. Yeah, there is a time to be a little bit looser on the field.
All right.
Final one, Indiana Fever -3.5 against the Liberty. We both chose Liberty. Liberty won, or I'm sorry,
Fever
Indiana
won.
Indiana won 106-92.
That was the game that the Indiana coach before the game, Stephanie White, went off the rails. But I also, did you see that clip at all?
I honestly haven't been able to
get to it. Well, she was really upset at the people in social media who are dragging the WNBA down and refuse to discuss actually what's happening on the court. And even though I think she took it to the extreme, it needed to be said a little bit. We've talked about this. The WNBA, we can't stop the bloggers. We can't stop the podcasts.
No.
And
the
if tweeters. They want to focus on all of the controversies and the fouls on Caitlin Clark and the this and the that, you can't stop them. But the WNBA itself, the coaches and players, can do better with their narrative.
They can.
That's all she was
saying.
They
got to figure it out.
They
got to figure it out.
They got to get there eventually, and they're not there yet. All right, we're not going to get to our
bets.
Let's
keep going, though.
Phillies, 1.5 over the Twins. Field of Dreams game in Iowa. And Aaron Nola's pitching for the Phillies, so I will take the Twins. The Phillies have been terrible this year.
When he pitches?
When anybody but Sanchez or Wheeler pitches, the Phillies lose. Although, how far might Kyle Schwarber hit one into the cornfields tonight?
I don't know. He hasn't been hitting much of home runs lately. So,
all right.
I'm going to go Phillies, though.
You're going to take the Phillies minus a run and a half. You got them. Dodgers, 1.5 over the Brew Crew. Sasaki's on the mound for Los Angeles.
Was this an NLCS rematch?
Brewers hope not.
Yeah.
Last year's NLCS was a wipeout.
It was.
I think Miz is pitching tomorrow's game.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
For
actually.
The Brew Crew against the Doyers. Who do you like here?
Jacob Mizorowski has gotten to the point in my head as I might actually check that out.
I like Jacob Mizorowski, and I think I know I'm maybe overly concerned. I think we all ought to enjoy and watch him while we can. Isn't that terrible?
You think he's going to break down?
He can't throw 105 for like the next 6, 7, 8 years.
Same could be said about Mason Miller.
Mason Miller's a reliever. He's doing it
that's
in short
true.
Bursts.
That's also very
much
true.
Different.
Yeah, that's much
different. You look at Skeens, who now seems to be hurting. You look at Spencer Strider. What happened to him?
I don't know. Where is he? Is he still playing?
I don't know. He's still hurt. He's hurt again. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm going to go Brew Crew.
Take Milwaukee. I'm going to take the Dodgers. I shouldn't, but the Brewers, I don't think they're going to be able to shake off the loss to the Padres there. Jacob DeGrom, 7 strikeouts tonight up in Anaheim, if you want to run up and watch him.
Braden could.
Braden will be up there. He can go watch DeGrom. I saw DeGrom this year against the Padres when I was down there. That was the night that they had Jacob DeGrom bobblehead doll, but only 10,000 people got them. In Texas.
I think that was the night that the Padres scored 5 runs in the first inning and then gave it right back.
Gave up 6. That is the night that that happened. I'll take DeGrom over 7 strikeouts. The Angels are, I don't know what the
Does Kirk Suzuki want anything to do with that team anymore? It's probably been such a bad year for him.
Well, he is a major league manager. That's the only thing he's got.
It's true. One of 30 people in the world. I will go over as well.
Over. How about Ohtani tonight? 2.5 runs plus hits plus RBIs. He homered last night, his 27th of the year,
which is just kind of surprising to me. He's not having a giant offensive year. He's having a good Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he's ever going to go 54-55 again.
No, he won't do that. You're right.
Yeah, that was pretty insane, and I think that will go down in the history books as such. Of course, he's supposed to be hurt. That's all I keep hearing.
Yeah, his knee is all
really
up.
Bothering him. What are you going, over or under?
Under.
Under? You like to root against Ohtani.
I do.
He's going to go over here. All right. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, 40.5 points. Again, I think it's...
After we just talked about betting on
you can at least bet on total points. I'm not going to go the spread.
All right, total points.
Packers,
40?
Packers and Steelers... 40.5 point. Now, the funny thing is everyone's billing this as Aaron Rodgers against his former team.
Can we stop?
Really? Like, really? Is it really that?
He's been gone for a long time.
But even that, he's not going to even play tonight. What is he's not playing against his team.
I think he needs a win against the Packers, though, to say that he's beat, like, most teams.
Okay, so
in the NFL.
If the Steelers win, then Aaron Rodgers gets the last laugh.
I mean, it's a preseason game. No.
I'm going to go under 40.5. I have no reason why.
Sloppy football over.
Over? All right. I'm only doing this for you because I'm surprised by this.
Bang, bang, Niner gang?
The Titans are the worst team in football, right? Even the Dolphins, I think, are, you know, in that category.
Jets are there.
Jets, okay. Titans are favored by 6 at the Niners tonight. Why is that?
Goodness.
Is Cam Ward going to play the whole game?
Probably because none of their starters are going
to
play.
Yeah, are they worried about Kyle Shanahan not being able to negotiate the sidelines? Anyway, it's just hard for me to believe the Titans, even in a preseason game, could ever beat the 49ers by a touchdown on the road. So I'm going to take the Titans anyway, because that's what's going to happen, since I don't believe it.
I'll go with my Niners.
You're going to go with your team?
Of course.
Good for you, Scrabe.
All right.
We're up on the Gambit stuff there. And speaking of football, a couple of stories that I think are worth touching on. One of them, I could see how people out there are going to think that Jaden Daniels is just a crybaby.
Oh, yes.
So we'll talk about whether he is a crybaby or not. And why am I shocked even that this has happened?
You're shocked? It has to do with LSU.
No, I'm not. LSU. It's Lane Kiffin. He's already in the middle of some controversy. Well, we're still a month away from the season starting.
Okay, you're going to have to explain how he's involved other than one aspect of it. But
right,
he's kind of in the clear on this one.
He's never in the clear.
Okay.
He's never in the clear. Don't kid yourself. All right, we will discuss that story if you didn't hear about Jaden Daniels. And the news on Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
Wait. You're telling me that the Browns have a quarterback controversy involving Deshaun Watson?
How many people out there just thought he's no longer even a member of the Browns?
I think a lot of people
signed the deal, what was it, 6 years ago now?
That's a good question.
Before all of this stuff came out about the massages and everything that grossed out all of us and basically sent Deshaun Watson, you know, to cover for the, you know, we thought the rest of time.
Yep.
But here he is.
He's
still making that money.
2022.
Right? So it's been 5 years since all of that, or 4 years since all of that.
Actually, he's in his last year of his contract.
Well,
so they can get rid of him after this year. I have a feeling the Browns just
keep
saying...
How much money did he make?
Oh, I'll tell you.
He hasn't taken a snap, has he?
I'll tell you. 5 years... Yeah, he has. 5 years, $230 million. $230 million guaranteed. Like, every single penny of that.
$230 million.
And this was after everything was found out about the whole massage stuff.
Oh, my God. You know, the next time I say somebody in sports is dumb... Remind me that the Browns exist, because that's dumb.
That is dumb.
Yeah.
All right, we'll tell you about the Jaden Daniels on the other
side. Both of those stories.
Okay.
Coming up. All right, yesterday, I think, was one of the best baseball games I've seen all year. The result, obviously, was great. Padres beat the Brewers 4-3. We're going to revisit that with notes on a scorecard coming up in about 5 minutes. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, today. Bill Howe Studios, We Know How. Tony Gwynn Jr. was down in Phoenix yesterday watching his daughter soccer debut with a victory. Grand Canyon over Arizona 2-0. We're going to create a whole legion of Grand Canyon women soccer fans
around
here.
Grand Canyon had no idea what they were getting.
Yeah, they were going to get out of this.
They're
going to get the whole thing. So Tony is now, assuming, on his way to Cleveland to join the Padres for the game tomorrow.
I tracked their flight from last night. And
you know, love doing that, for sure.
They got in at 2:10 a.m., so...
2:10.
Yes.
That's 11 o'clock Pacific time, big deal.
I guess you're right.
All guests on the show joined us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Not Big Bank Banking. It's better. You soccer fans, if you just tuned in, you want to go back and listen to Brian Dunseth from MLS on Apple TV. He joined us about an hour ago.
I got a text
with some good stuff.
They really liked him because he seemed like he was so excited about talking about it, which I will buy in. Like, I will be all in on what he was talking about, because he really wanted to talk about it.
But everybody that's been on from MLS, I think, or Apple's been just like that.
Fantastic.
But Brian was good as well. All right, two quick football stories, although I don't know I can do them quickly. One, Deshaun Watson was named the starter for the Browns in the preseason opener. New coach Todd Monken says Shedeur Sanders will start the second game.
Oh, we're doing this thing.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. We're doing both.
I'm saying we're doing the thing where they say he's the starter, but then they're starting Shedeur in the second game?
Yeah, they didn't say he's the starter at all.
Wait, I thought that's what you said, that he was named the starter.
No, he's the starter for the first game.
Gotcha. right. I was confused.
Shador, the second game.
Okay.
Todd Monken says whoever plays better will have the inside track on being the actual starter.
I'm a little slow today.
Yes, you are. But Deshaun Watson, it is really incredible. You know, this has followed him for his life, and I don't know that it's ever going to stop following him. We're talking about all of the terribly troubling, let's just say, allegations that were made against this man now 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And the fact that the Browns were more than ecstatic to give him $230 million guaranteed despite it all.
Yeah.
And
also wrote into his contract, if any suspension comes down, they don't. Deshaun Watson will not forfeit his guaranteed money or bonus. So they really helped him.
I can say this. Deshaun Watson's agent, my goodness.
Give him a raise.
I mean, imagine going in under those circumstances and saying, hey, you know, you're going to give my client $230 million. Never mind. Oh, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
With all of this other...
I can't believe that the more I think about this deal from the Browns, it might be the worst deal in sports just because of
history.
How Deshaun Watson was being seen at the time. The Cleveland fans hated it.
The Cleveland fans to this day hate that.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to be reminded of it now in the opening preseason game. I'm surprised here. I didn't even know this. Deshaun Watson actually has played 19 games for the Browns.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know he played that many.
No,
I thought
he
played zero.
I believe he like tore an Achilles 1 year.
Well, it's been... anyway, the Browns gotten what
Browns
they deserve
are the Browns.
For bringing him in.
Browns are the Browns.
I've said this a million times, unless I guess you're talking about a Jordan or somebody, and there's a few guys like it, but you don't have to take guys that are... problem people. There are other really good players that aren't that way.
Agree.
So look around. You'll find them.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Jaden Daniels' story is interesting, and we have like 3 minutes to talk about it, so we'll do our best. Jaden Daniels wore number 5 when he won the Heisman Trophy at LSU. And we now know Jaden Daniels has gone on, and he's off to a hell of a good start in his pro career. There's a young man named DJ Pickett. Excuse me, he's a cornerback, and he has been given number 5 to wear. And the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, although saying this isn't going to be a distraction, has complained about this, basically, or at least the Jaden Daniels camp has.
Yes.
And there's a big thing going on. So is Jaden Daniels like just being a baby here? Like, all right, good. You won the Heisman, number 5. They didn't retire your number. It's available. Or is there more happening here? And there's a couple of things. First, I would love to blame it all on Lane Kiffin because I can't stand him. But in this case, I'm giving Lane Kiffin an excuse.
Okay.
He says that former coach Brian Kelly...
Oh, sorry, pass the buck.
Well, he says that Brian Kelly promised Pickett, the young cornerback, that if he came to LSU, he could wear number 5. So it's Brian Kelly who promised it. Lane Kiffin's like, there's not much I can do. It was promised to him. Here's the thing, though. Before you say Jaden Daniels is being a baby, Pickett says, he's a sophomore by then now, Pickett is.
Okay.
He says, I've worn this number my whole life since I was 4 years old. It's the number I was promised by LSU. That is all true. But here's what else is true. He wore number 3 last year as a freshman. What happened there?
Yeah, why make the big deal now?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm having a little issue here.
I do have an issue with that.
He apparently was able to play okay wearing number 3 last year. He was a freshman All-American. But now, well, I've worn number 5 my whole life. Well, no, you haven't. You wore number 3 last year.
That is true. I didn't know that part of the story.
There's so many little ins and outs here. I will still say, if I'm Lane Kiffin, walk in, sit down with Pickett. I mean, his dad's involved, and we're not changing our number, and we're this. I mean, the Pickett is dad. You know, like Pickett, because of the NIL, is a corporation, I'm sure. He's making more money than Lane Kiffin, maybe. But again, coaches to me, and if it was promised by Brian Kelly, I see where Lane Kiffin is coming from. But I would like to try to just negotiate something out here.
Can we go back and just see?
And have more respect for Jaden Daniels, who brought me a Heisman Trophy and a lot of positive nature to this school.
I get it. They did not win a national championship.
No,
they lost like four games the year he played for LSU.
Right?
Does he even deserve to have his number retired?
That's another way. But let me ask you this. Kawhi Leonard's number is now retired, but it wasn't for a while. He didn't win a national championship, but he did put San Diego State basketball on the map.
He did.
I would have felt some type of way. I think anybody would have if some kid came in, and this was a different time because the kids didn't have the same NIL. But if some kid came in and told Fisher, hey, I'll play here, but I'm wearing number 15. Like, no, you're not. And I've always worn it. And I'm like, no, that was represented by somebody bigger than you.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
So that's where the story is. I don't know.
Because Kawhi Leonard changed San Diego State basketball.
Yeah, well, Jaden Daniels won a Heisman Trophy.
He did not change LSU football.
All right.
He didn't. And the fact that you think that you're so important that your number's not even retired yet. LSU has to wait 5 years before they retire your number. That you're so important that you can't. No one is allowed to wear your number.
All right. I think who you're mad at is Jaden Daniels' mom because you don't like her because she's his agent. And you think she's a little bit overbearing.
I do think that she is driving all of this.
She's a little overbearing.
Jaden Daniels does not seem like a selfish guy. I feel like she's driving this.
But here's a picture of DJ Pickett last year wearing number 3. So this whole quote, I've worn it my whole life. I can't get out of bed unless I'm wearing number 5, is just a crock. Because he wore number 3 last year just fine.
That is funny. That is really funny. Did he think that no one was going to go check what he wore?
Lane Kiffin is kind of funny on this one. Lane's like, man, I got more problems than I know what to do with. I don't even need this one. This was the old coach, but it's still Lane Kiffin in the middle of a hullabaloo.
David's saying on the chat too that what is his Heisman not important? Not really. Sorry,
I agree with the chat.
But
you said
the Heisman for years is a nothing trophy.
Well, the trophy may not be, but the allure of the Heisman does bring eyeballs and prestige to your university.
Who won the Heisman last year?
Mendoza, Indiana.
Dang it! You got me!
That's about the only one I could have got.
I was going to say the year before that.
Don't ask me because I can't go back that far.
I am not saying you have to remember who won, but the Heisman Trophy is not the same award.
I'm going to say it's an interesting story. There's a lot of different sides you can be on, and you could actually be on more than one side in this story. We'll see. I think what's going to end up happening, though, Pickett's going to wear number 5 because the NIL thing, he and his father will just say, well, we're taking our talents elsewhere. The kids have more power than the teams now.
It's insane, but it's true.
Yeah. All right. Notes on a scorecard.
Everybody's waiting.
From a great baseball game yesterday. We got it next.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Coming up on Friday, we'll get you ready for Padres and Guardians this weekend. And at 8:35,
notes on a scorecard from yesterday's classic. And I think it's one baseball game, but you'll see why as I go through some of this. Just really enjoyed that game. There was so much to it. So many little crazy things that happened. A lot of strategy. So that's what Notes and Scorecard's all about. I sit there, I watch the game, I think stuff pops into my head, and I jot it down.
Show everybody the stack.
Normally, I jot down in like 3 or 4 pages, but this one's like 12 pages.
Yeah, you could definitely make a fan out of them.
There was a lot going on in that game yesterday. I got one little problem here, Scraby.
Uh-oh, what's
Go ahead
wrong?
And play the open, but...
Okay.
The pages got mixed up, the order of them.
Oh, no.
And now I don't know if I can straighten it out
here
in time.
Here we go.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a Scorecard starts now.
Did you figure it out yet?
I hope so. Right. If I go from the first inning to the seventh, you'll know that I didn't figure it out. Great game yesterday, and if you were late, you missed the beginning of the greatness. Second batter of the game, and as Don Orsillo likes to say, don't hit it into the crone zone.
Yep.
Great catch,
yes.
Right? Diving,
full
soft
extension.
Line drive by Terang. Just got the game off and rolling. And I wrote this down. It didn't come to play necessarily in the end, but I do feel this. Of all the players in baseball, Jake Cronenworth is one of the players that can help you win a game and go 0-for-4. And there are not a lot of guys that you can say that about.
Yeah, he can.
And that is part of his value to this team. Bottom of the first inning, Renjifo leads off with a hit. It was an infield hit, but that equaled the number that Dustin May gave the Padres the last game when he shut them out on a one-hitter. I don't know if you remember the play, but Renjifo hit it over into the hole. Joey Ortiz, the third baseman, caught it, spun around, and he's no Manny Machado because he threw the ball 25 feet wide of the base.
It wasn't even close.
Not even close. As I wrote down here, he was lucky to keep that throw in the ballpark. It could have hit a parked car.
Yeah.
It was so far off.
That was a funny throw.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I have to do this. And if you follow notes on a scorecard, you'll recognize it. But the inning ended on a 6-4-3 double play ground ball by Manny Machado, who wasn't even in the picture on TV running up the first base line.
I thought about that so
when
many
the throw
times
was
last
made.
Night.
And you guys, and look, I can't win because you guys say Manny shouldn't run, but it drives me crazy. What can I tell you? At least he could have been in the picture. Top of the second
That's
inning.
That's the funniest part to me. I assume that he had already made it.
Right. If you can find the beginning of that game, watch the ground ball. The shortstop gets it. He throws to second. Second baseman throws to first. And as the camera pans over, like, where's Manny? He's not even there.
I know. And then there he is. He's on the bottom of the screen.
Unbelievable. All right. This is one I'm going to have to accept. Top of the second, the Sanchino homers, but not for the Padres.
No.
He did it for the Brew Crew. And Robbie Ray threw the pitch 94 miles an hour. And if you look at it again, you can go back if you want. It dotted the absolute middle of the box. You can't throw it there to a major league hitter, and I don't care how many miles per hour it is.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's so funny that we spend so much time, he throws this hard, he throws that hard. Okay, great. But if you put it there where Robbie Ray did, chances are it's going to be a home run. That's how good these big league hitters are. Bottom of the second inning, Ty France gets the second hit. So now they're ahead of the Dustin May.
We're feeling good
pace,
at this point.
Yeah, still losing 1-0. By the way, Jackson Merrill hits into the easiest double play of all time. Right to the shortstop, steps on second, throws the first. But guess who ran all the way? Jackson Merrill sprinted, almost beat the play.
He did.
He was only out by a step. Again, I'm just going to say I appreciate Jackson Merrill. That's the old-fashioned way to play the game. And, I'm not going to harp on Manny. Top of the third, Hamilton gets a lead double. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't. Ty France dives and takes the hit away down the first base line. How many plays has this guy made?
Is he going for another gold glove this year?
I think he should. I don't watch every game, but, I mean, Ty France has been as good as he's been on offense, where he bats cleanup now. He's hitting 290. He is so clearly the team MVP because of his defense, too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Let's see. Later in the inning, Churio. It's a chopper to third. Manny gets it. Manny Cadillacs it just a little.
He does.
Throws it to first. Well, Churio is not like Manny. Churio runs. He almost beat it out. I know he was out. But again, I appreciate play hard. You never know what's going to happen. Later in that inning, Terang got a two-out RBI single, 2-0. Merrill overran the ball. Terang ended up on third base. Remember that?
I do, yeah.
Sorry. Manny would have barely made it to second because he would have been jogging to first. And I know it's different, and I'm going to stop it. That's it. I still love you, Manny, but I wish you ran to first base. Bottom of the third, the Western Metal Supply Company building, along with everything else, is where hanging curveballs go to die. Even Xander Bogaerts, who hadn't homered barely in 3 months, hit a hanging curveball into the Western Metal building.
Can't say I expected that.
I didn't either, but you hang a curveball to a big league hitter, even if they're that ice cold. They'll homer. The only run the Padres got off Dustin May in two games. Top of the fourth, Bowers leads off with a walk, and it was close on the check swing. And they showed it from above, and I thought that he did go around. Mark Grant said a really cool quote here. He said, "The problem is there's no definition in the rule book about what is a check swing." And he's right. It is totally arbitrary here for the umpire to decide down the first base or third base line whether that was a swing. And I don't know if you can fix it, but it reminds me of the NFL, where we don't know where to place the football in a pile. We just put it somewhere.
We just hope it, we got it right.
There's no definition of actually where the ball goes.
This
is a different version of it. In the NFL, it's far more important because games can be decided on where the ball's placed.
I mean, check swing is pretty darn important.
But the check swing can be important, too. You're
it
right.
It ended the Giants' season in the playoffs years ago against the Dodgers.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. But I didn't think Bowers, I think he should have struck out. Anyway, he walked. And the next guy walked, Contreras. But Robbie Ray walks guys. So get used to it. Also get used to the fact that he retired the next three hitters and did not give up a run. Certain guys know how to pitch with guys on base. Certain guys don't. Robbie Ray, I trust him with men on base. And he got out of that inning. All right, bottom of the fourth, he had bases loaded thanks to an error by Hamilton. Should have made an easy double play, fumbled
yeah,
the
definitely.
Ball.
They
Austin Hayes is up. 5-4-3 double play. Third double play of the game in four innings.
Hard to watch.
But also give a little credit to Dustin May right there. If you're a pitcher and the guy kicks away a certain inning-ending double play, now you have bases loaded. You could give up five runs now.
Yeah.
But he bared down, made a good pitch, got out of the inning. That's called picking up your teammate.
I'm impressed by Dustin May.
So, well, he's not been good except against the Padres this year.
I guess
frankly,
you're right.
If you look at the rest of it.
I've only seen him do pitch against the Padres
yeah,
twice, and he's
right.
been
he
great.
Looks amazing, for sure. Top of the fifth inning, we got Bradley into the game, and Ortiz at the plate makes the first of many stupid challenges by the Brewers. A 1-1 pitch leading off an inning is not a challengeable pitch, even if you think you're right.
Yeah.
But he was wrong, and now the Brewers are down a challenge. And good. The only thing that made me feel better is that the Padres are not the only ones who do dumb challenges.
Yeah, we've seen a few teams this year.
Yeah.
Recently, but, too.
On this day, though, the Padres were doing good challenges, and then the inning ended on a Fermin challenge to strike out Bryce Tarang. Fermin ended up striking out three guys yesterday on challenges.
They need a catcher strikeout stat.
Do you know that Fermin has been correct now 9 out of the last 11 challenges?
So I guess, can we say anything until he goes back into the bad zone?
Do you know how many he got right out of the 8 before that?
0.
0.
So there was a stretch where it was not great.
He's just on a hot streak right now. I hope it holds up on the challenges for Mr. Fermin. We're into the top of the 7, still 2-1. Again, Joey Ortiz is up. He hits a deep, long fly to left center field. I thought it might be a double. Luis Rengifo is an infielder, second baseman, basically. Goes back and just brings it in, no problem. This guy has become quite valuable. The inning ends on another Fermin strikeout challenge. They get Churio to end the inning. Bottom of the 7th, Merrill is the tying run. I thought he's going to do it. 2-0 count. But give credit to Mays. He came back and got him in a big battle there. They held on to the 2-1 lead into the 8th. Kyle Hart came in. Why? I was concerned. High leverage spot. Kyle Hart also then walked the leadoff hitter. I'm like, no, don't do this.
I'm going to
defend
him.
This could be game over.
I'm going to defend him. He has been much better than people give him credit for.
You don't have to defend that. My concern is that he hasn't been put in this situation very much.
Fair.
And that can be difficult, you know, in a big game like this. He also had to face Andrew Vaughn after the walk.
Yeah.
Vaughn is the number one hitter in baseball against left-handed pitching.
Not comfortable at all.
But he struck him out. Give Kyle Hart credit for getting through that top of the eighth inning. Bottom of the eighth, after the fourth double play of the game, the Padres get something going with two outs. And it is Tatis, who's basically almost intentionally walked there.
Yeah, it was four straight pitches.
Pinch hitting.
Not even close.
Rengifo, nine pitches to get his walk. And then Jake, after the runners move up to second and third, nine more pitches. Ashby doesn't cover first base in time. I can't tell you how many times that drives me crazy, but it helped the Padres tie the game at two.
And all he did was just hesitate for a half second.
Did you hear after the game?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Something I did not know until today. Pat Murphy said after the game, that's the fifth time this year that Ashby has failed to get over to first base in time.
Wow.
Fifth.
That's
his own manager
crazy.
Called him out.
You would think you would get that under control, especially when you're losing games.
Basically cost you the game yesterday in a lot of ways. Wow. Once again, the runners moved up on a wild pitch. Second and third, 3-2 count. I thought they might walk Manny there and face a lefty on deck. But they went after him, and Manny grounded out. P.S., he didn't really run to first base. top of the ninth inning. We got Mason Miller in. He's struggling, right? He's
throwing
ball. But Niebla came out, calmed him down. Every time Niebla comes out, you know the next five pitches are going to be strikes.
Yeah.
And inning over. Bottom of the ninth. It's getting tougher now because now you're hitting in the shadows. But Padres can't score there. I'm going a little quicker
here.
Should
we just finish the extra innings on the other side?
Okay, yeah. I'll finish the ninth inning, and then we'll do extra innings on the other side. McGill, who came in, by the way, had retired 19 straight batters coming into that appearance, and he's not given up a home run all year. Same for Mason Miller on the no home run, by the way. There's some pretty good pitchers out there in relief. Game almost ended in the bottom of the ninth. I'll explain why when we come back.